Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have a special show kind of for you.
Well, it's a little different. Usually we play a tape of an interview that we do on our Tuesday night show, but we were preempted by the elections. Yeah, our local elections. And I think that's right because
yeah, they do it at a little state and the county and everywhere, yeah. You know, in three states actually they do.
Yeah, because we're in the tri-state area, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York.
So we get preempted on Tuesday nights on
election
night. Yeah, once a year, which is kind of our only day off of that. Actually, it's the only one we
officially take off, really.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what we do. But this is called. What I'm going to do is start the show off with an audio with a audio portion or an audio portion of the video of our that's on Brad Freeman's. Website. It's called bradblog.com, and he's a voting rights activist, investigative reporter, and an interesting guy. We've had him on our show many times, and if you look through the archives of our internet show here, you'll see we have a number of interviews with him. But I think it's important that you see the listen to this. Yeah, check it out. It's on. It's called Tea Party Express.
Very
and,
timely.
Yeah, Tea Party Express, and it's Tea Party Express. Brad Freedman, put in Brad Freedman, Tea Party Express, if you want to see it on YouTube. Or go right to Brad's website. It's on bradblog.com, all right there at the top of the blog. And it says, and you see it, it's in two parts. But we're going to read it. We're going to do it tonight, and then we'll be back right after that to comment
about
on it.
How long?
It's about, let me see, I think it's about 20 minutes.
And then we'll talk
and,
about it.
And, yeah, it's about... It's two parts and 20 minutes apiece. I mean, I'm sorry, about 9 minutes apiece. So, but it's really fascinating because...
well, let's let it speak for itself.
Right. Well, let me just tell you what the story is about. It says, so we went out to Griffith Park out here in L.A. on Sunday to check out the kickoff day for the new Tea Party Express 2 national tour. Thought we might meet some interesting people and file a quick video report. We met a lot of interesting people and so ended up making a short film of sorts. Enjoy and spread the word. Go tell the story on both sides. And we're going to start now.
Go ahead.
Okay. Oops. Tea Party 2 up there. Hang on. Tea Party 2. Brad, where's this? Okay. What I'm going to advise you to do, because this is Tea Party 2, and there's a Tea Party 1, I believe. Let's see. Anyway, we're going to start. And this is called Tea Party Express.
Hi, I'm Brad Freedman of BradBlog.com. We're here at the Southern California kickoff of the Teabagger Express 2 Countdown to Judgment Day. This is the first stop on a tour that goes all the way across the U.S. Protesting against something. Enough is enough is their slogan. We're going to find out what it is they're so angry about as... Hundred and hundred are gathered here to express their displeasure. Here comes the Tea Party Express bus. It's a grassroots bus that was put together by donations, I presume, from grassroots members of the Teabagger Express Club. And it's the first grassroots bus that I've seen that is painted on all sides. As a matter of fact, most of the grassroots movements I see... usually don't have buses. They have vans, if they're lucky, and they have bumper stickers on them.
That's a bus.
It's paid for by the insurance company.
Tea Party Express. End the bailouts. Reduce the size and intrusiveness of government. Stop the out-of-control spending. See, reducing the bailouts. They're talking about the bailout started by the President of the United States. Remember that? Billions and billions of dollars went to the bank. Remember that?
George W. Bush did that. George W. Bush increased
the size of government like nobody has ever seen before, right?
Yeah, but now it's even worse.
It's even worse.
Obama's like taxing our grandchildren into their grave.
What taxes has Obama raised?
$1 trillion? How many trillion?
When did he raise your taxes?
He spent our money that we're going to have to pay taxes for. Like George Bush, right? This is how much George Bush did. This is how much Obama did. He kept our country safe.
He did?
Oh, yeah, he did.
I thought 3,000 people got killed on 9/11.
After that, we took after the enemies, didn't we?
Wait, I thought...
But wait,
didn't people get killed by an anthrax attack?
They found anthrax, but they found it and destroyed it.
People died, you know.
No.
They didn't?
No.
And then we had 4,000 troops died in Iraq. Remember that?
Our country.
From what?
Terrorism.
There was terrorists in Iraq?
Yeah.
Where are the jobs? Where is the stimulus money? Where are the thriving small businesses? It was better under Bush.
That's right. I thought so.
But, you know, Bush was a big government liberal. He violated the Constitution. He invaded our privacy, all of that stuff. Did you vote for him?
Did I vote for him? No.
Who'd you vote for?
Well, you mean now?
No, when Bush was running, who did you vote for?
I did vote for Bush.
You did? But I thought you didn't like him.
He's doing it. He's worse. We hate him both. We don't hate him.
Barack Hussein Obama. Do America a favor and resign? Why should he resign?
Why shouldn't he? This guy's a socialist. He wants to take our freedom, take away our liberty.
But tell us all the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away. Listen to this.
Go ahead, tell us.
Okay, all of these are the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away and should resign. And here now, some of those freedoms. Give it to him.
For one thing, he wants to take away our freedom of speech.
He does?
Absolutely. Instead of fighting in Afghanistan, he's over here fighting against FNC, Fox News Channel. So
how does he want to take away their freedom of speech? Go ahead, tell him how he's taking away their freedom of speech.
By turning them off. By just saying, you know what? We can't have free speech. We're going to turn you off. If it's not my way, it's a highway. But
Barack Obama has turned off FNC, Fox News?
No. But if he could, he would.
So he's not taking away freedom of speech.
Well, he sure would love to. He would sure love to take away the freedom of speech.
Okay, so he hasn't taken away freedom of speech.
He has not. But
tell us all the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away. Let's get a load of this. Tell him all the freedoms.
Well, for one thing, he's taken over the car industry. If it was up to him, we'd be driving this little...
He's taken away the freedom for GM to declare to go out of business,
right,
is what he's
right.
done. He's taken away the freedom for those workers to lose their job, basically, right?
That's right. And he's taken away the people, you know, that want to make a lot of money. It's like they want to tax the devil out of them, you know.
But he's lowered, actually, 85% of Americans' taxes, right?
Yeah, right. Sure he has.
But he has, hasn't he?
I don't think so. Absolutely not, no.
If you made less than $250,000, he's lowered your taxes.
Yeah, right. That's what he says, but he's a liar.
But that's what he did do, though, didn't he?
No.
I mean, because I want to get a list. I want to get a list of all the freedoms that he's taken away. So, the freedom of speech he hasn't done, and the tax thing, I don't think yet, right?
All right.
But what are the freedoms? Here's a list of the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away.
If this man could take away all of our freedoms, I think he would take away our freedom to do anything and everything.
Thank you very much for your time and for speaking up. And is this your son? Grandson? How old are you, sir? Six. Your name is Falcon?
Mm-hmm.
You're not the balloon boy Falcon, are you?
Yes, sir.
That's not the balloon boy.
2 million Americans were there on 9/12?
Media said different, but there was about 2 million there.
Where'd you get that information, 2 million?
I don't know, but it was on the news somewhere.
You said the news didn't report it.
The media back there, the CNN and that.
Who reported that there was 2 million?
Well, I heard it on the news.
What's the HR 3200?
That's the Obamacare.
The Obamacare? It'll kill your grandma.
It'll kill your grandpa.
Grandpa.
There are things that have come across my screen on my computer that say old people have a duty to die.
How will it kill your grandpa?
How will it? Patients have to Every 5 years, I believe it is, they have to contact their physicians and talk about end-of-life care.
Do not government-run health care enter.
Do not enter government-run health care. Vote no. We don't want government-run health care.
Who's in favor of government-run health care?
Obama.
He wants government-run health care?
Yeah, sure. That's what he's trying to force upon us. He's trying to ram it up our you-know-what, right?
No, I thought he wanted a public option they were talking.
Yeah, that's the same thing, government-run health care.
The government should have nothing to say about national health care. It's a private industry.
Should we shut down Medicare?
I don't think we need to shut it down right now.
That's government-run health care, right. Shut it down. Shut it down. The VA, you know, for the veterans, their health care, shut it down.
I didn't say that.
So shut down the government VA service to the troops. Shut down the Medicare. Are you 65 or older?
No.
Are you going to accept Medicare when you're older?
I don't know yet. I'm not saying I want Medicare shut down. I just don't want national.
You
new
can't
national
say. Well, the old national health care is fine, but not the new.
The truth, we have to
it's
help
confusing.
No.
You're in favor of ending Medicare?
No. I'm in favor of ending the negative portions of Medicare. Leave Medicare the way it is right now. I'm happy with it.
Which are the negative portions?
I don't know. I didn't make a list.
What about the study that says the Harvard study just came out about 2 weeks ago, says 45,000 Americans die each year simply because they don't have health insurance?
I don't believe it.
I haven't seen that report. I don't know.
Would you be troubled by that as a doctor? 45,000 die simply because they don't have insurance each year?
I think it's probably a lot more complicated than that. I haven't read it, so I can't really comment.
And if you read it and you saw it, would you be troubled by it as a doctor, as a medical doctor?
I would probably find that the headline and the substance probably don't match up.
It's a misnomer that there's people out there without health care because we all have health care. We all have medical treatment. Just show up.
How about if we have Medicare for everybody?
No, you got to be of a certain age.
What if you're 55 instead of 65 and you get cancer and you need Medicare, should we give it to them?
Well, if you are going to not be able to afford it, then the government gives money to a lot of people that don't deserve it.
Like people who don't have health care.
Well, what, maybe.
I have friends who don't have much money and they go there and get all of this stuff done.
At the free clinic?
Yes, at the free clinic.
Who's paying for that?
Taxpayers? I'm paying for it.
But you're against that.
People that have no health care and no health insurance get health care at the county hospital right down the street here.
Who pays for that?
We do.
Who?
The taxpayers. You're right.
You want to shut those down.
I didn't say shut them down.
Public options, or he doesn't want nationalized health.
Bullshit. Bullshit. He's a liar. He's Chicago politics.
I should be able to keep the doctors I have.
Barack Obama was very clear. He said, if you have insurance
Barack
and you want to keep
lies.
It.
It's proven Barack Obama lies.
Okay, we're here on the socialist side of the protest. This is the Courage campaign. You guys are the socialists.
What kind of fool are you?
This is not the socialist side of this.
This is a,
Those were the Tea Party.
Yeah, and we're going to watch
the other side.
Part, the next part of this. But I think it's important to note that I really would like you to, if you can, go to...
To watch it yourself.
Yeah, go to bradblog.com and check it out. He's got the two parts together. And if you go to YouTube, it's kind of, you know how YouTube is. There, you go to Tea Party Express and there's 100 different videos,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you do happen to go to Tea Party Express 2, Rise of the Teabags, all right? And you're going to get a kick out of it. So we're going to, but the thing that amazes me for the first part anyway, and the second part's the same, is how, in the video you see much more, but it's just amazing how Brad is asking these people legitimate questions, and
they have no answers.
They haven't a clue how to answer it. It's like
because they're just emotional and riding on a tide of emotion with no substance.
With no substance whatsoever, and they're getting all of their information from Fox News, so they say, and not looking up anything else. And it's just not realizing that Barack Obama at this point. I don't think has taken away any freedoms that we've
that
had.
I mean,
he hasn't given us any more. But I mean, they haven't repealed the Patriot Act,
And that was all done before he took
everything
office.
Was under Bush, but
I think he resigned that, though.
Yeah, he resigned it. But
I don't agree with that.
And there's a lot that I don't agree with Obama on. But the thing is that
couldn't come up with substance for the signs they were carrying. That's the point that
right.
He
they,
was making.
Yeah, right. Not just the signs, but the rationale behind their
Well, let's see what part two
protest.
Says.
And you'll find out that the protest is actually funded. The Tea Party Express is really a insurance-backed, lobbyist kind
Who
of
is it? How they afforded that beautiful bus?
Well, yeah, that's how they afforded the
beautiful bus.
And all this stuff. And it's, and,
we never traveled to Washington on a beautiful bus like that.
Okay. But, they're going, this group of people who are hired by the insurance companies and lobbyists to go around the country and give speeches and talk on this.
And carry signs.
Right. Or this big, party, the Tea Party Express. And then what happens is people come to see it whenever, every town that they go into.
Yeah.
And they have a big rally. And now this is part two of it. And it's funny because now he's talking to a bunch of the police, and it's like 30 or 40 policemen are on one side of the aisle guarding the liberals, all right? But they only got like 5 or 10 of them on the other side of the fence, all right, guarding the conservatives,
Tea Party Express.
And there's only a handful of liberals. There's like a thousand, of them. So
well, let's
here
see
we
what
go.
This
yeah,
is.
This is kind of funny. I hope you enjoy it.
Rise of the Tea Bags.
I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. This is the second of two buses kicking off this grassroots tour called the Tea Party Express. Countdown to Judgment Day. They're starting here in Southern California, working their way all the way to our nation's capital in Orlando, Florida, on November 12th. So they've got two buses somehow painted, beautifully painted, by the way, with their grassroots money that I'm not sure where they got that money from, because I've never seen the guys on this side of the protest. Ed, can you get a shot of this side of the protest? These are the people in favor of health care, whereas across the way, there's, about 200 or 300 who are against health care for all, apparently. I saw signs about grandma dying or something, so I don't know. I guess they want to kill your grandmother. I'm not sure. It's also confusing. Okay, we're here on the socialist side of the protest. This is the Courage campaign. You guys are the socialists.
What kind of fool are you?
This is not the socialist side of the...
Socialist.
Well, they said, those guys over there said that you guys were socialist, communist.
We are what we are. Why don't you have the courage to ask me what I am?
Oh, what are you?
I'm a human being. I'm out here for health care.
These guys across the way said that you guys are socialists and communists over here.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. Are you socialist, communist?
I think I'd probably... standing there with a big sign that says coffee enemas for tea bags.
Oh, well, great. That's a good point, because I know what it feels to me. What, in your mind, what is a socialist?
It's where the government takes over the main the ways and means of production.
That's not socialism.
It's not? What is that?
That's not anything I've ever heard of. That's some, like, weird thing that we're not even talking about.
I know, but that is socialism.
No, collective. Medicare socialism?
Medicare is socialism, yes.
And veterans' benefits are socialism?
Yes, they are.
And you're against that?
No, I'm in favor of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are you in favor of that?
Well, because I think everybody should have medical care and our troops and everything else.
Pay for it.
What's that?
How can you pay for health care?
I think that the taxpayers ought to pay for the health care of those people who can't afford it. I think it's a human right, basic human right, don't you think?
Well, here's what I think. I think health care for profit is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
I agree. But see, they said you were socialists. I didn't. The teabaggers.
Teabaggers aren't educated, and they don't really know what they're talking about.
I'm here with Sarah Palin, and she's here to support the teabaggers. Right, Sarah?
You betcha.
The cancer survivor is sick of insurance industry greed and right-wing lies.
Yes.
Are you a cancer survivor?
Yes. They're lying about the fact that they, are putting profit over people. They're lying about the fact that, they're doing much good for this country. And they're bankrupting the country.
Who's bankrupting the country?
Insurance industry.
Private insurance.
Yeah, I'm lucky right now that, I have health insurance. But, what if I lost my health insurance. I'm covered, you know, through my husband's employer insurance, union insurance. Now, if he were to lose his job, which he was close to because of the recession, now, if that were to happen and he lost his coverage, I would lose my coverage and I would have a pre-existing condition because of my breast cancer.
And you'd not be able to get it anywhere else?
I wouldn't be able to get anywhere else.
There's only about 10 or 20 people over here on the counter-protest, and I think there's more police keeping them from the teabaggers than there are protesters on this side of the teabaggers.
The police are facing us like if we're aggressive. I mean, we're peaceful. We're just fighting for health care. That's all we want is medical care, so we don't have to go to pet stores and buy antibiotics anymore.
And why are the police facing you guys instead of facing us?
I don't know. I guess they're scared of us, and maybe it's because of bald head, but they got bald head, too. I don't know.
He's on the liberal side.
What we say, all right?
But
do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Healthcare.
What do we want?
Now.
Healthcare! Now! Where are you from?
Brad Blog is the name of my blog.
Are you totally neutral? Are you totally neutral?
No, nobody's totally neutral, are they?
Now! Healthcare! Now!
No, I have an opinion. Do you have an opinion?
Actually, I do have an opinion. Well, I'm forming an opinion.
Well, what opinion are you forming?
I'm concerned about some of our liberties being threatened.
Like what?
Freedom of speech. This last little thing that's come out about Fox News.
What happened about Fox News?
Well, that they were eliminated from, or I guess tried to be eliminated from the poll of Obama's choice.
Yeah, they didn't do that, though, actually. That was a false story, as it turned out.
Was it?
Yeah.
Really? I work for the school system, and one of my friends told me about it.
Oh, boy, you need to get some new friends, I think, yeah. Go to talkingpointsmemo.com. They'll have the whole story on what really happened with that fake story. Don't trust me. Don't trust anybody. Don't trust that guy at school. What's that?
Who's Talking Points Memo?
It's a website, talkingpointsmemo.com.
Who are they?
This guy by the name of Josh Marshall. He's the editor of Talking Points Memo.
What is he affiliated with?
He's affiliated with Talking Points Memo. He's the editor of Talking Points Memo. He's a reporter.
We need more reporters! We need more reporters! We need more reporters! We need more reporters! We need more reporters!
Are they having problems with these guys over here, sir? What's going on there? Why are the police pushing them back? Are you guys not allowed to speak to the media? Sir? Are you guys allowed to speak to the media? Anybody here? What's odd here is that we've got, I don't know, 10, 20, or 30 police officers to these, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 protesters who are here protesting the Tea Party Express. Now, over here, you've got, I don't know, a couple, 200-300 protesters, and there don't seem to be any police around them for some reason. So I'm trying to figure out why. Well, there's about 10 officers over there, but there's about 30 or so over here. Are we worried about these?
No, we're not worried.
All right. It just seems like there's a whole lot of police looking at them, and nobody's worried about these guys over here. Everybody been peaceful today?
The way it should be. Freedom of speech.
I hear you, brother. Here are the police on the other side. There's appears to be, I don't know, 9 or 10 police over here where the teabaggers are. But over where the counter-protesters only had about 20 people there, there was about 30 cops.
They were yelling at us. You have to tell the whole story.
But these guys are yelling. Aren't they yelling over here?
They're on both sides. These guys were yelling at us. We're not yelling at them. Did you see us at the line? I don't think you
But
did.
Surely yelling is not illegal.
So please, sir, if you're going to tell the story, you got to tell both sides.
You just did.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Great that this bus tour is starting because we're going to take this message across the country over the next 2 weeks, and we are going to make a difference, and we're going to stop this health care legislation once and for all.
Health care away from older people. They're going to have interviews at 65 years of age. You go to your doctor, he has to tell you about how to die.
And November 2nd, 2010, is Judgment Day, and we're going to make a difference. We're going to flip that house and take it back. It belongs to us, the American people. And if you need to know how to get engaged, come see me. I'll be happy to tell you what to do. Thank you all. God bless you all, and God bless America.
Yeah, I like Fox. Do you know why? Because I hear both sides.
Right.
That was Brad Blog with the Tea Party Express 2.
Yeah, it was a good
Rise of the
Teabag. Yeah, it was
really
good.
And he interviewed some of the teabag protesters, and then he went across the way and interviewed the counter protesters.
Yeah.
The teabag protesters were protesting health care. They don't want a public option for health care.
Right.
Or
it
any health care.
It was well done, because, again, the audio portion is all you got, but. Please go to that video. It's on YouTube as well.
So, Leo, where did you find out that the two buses were paid for by the healthcare industry?
That was on another report that was done by Rachel Maddow.
Right? Oh, okay.
And she exposed them a couple of weeks back and found out that they did an investigation, found out
mm-hmm.
that the supporters,
were the insurance companies?
The supporters were all paid for by the insurance companies and their lobbyists. That's right. They're backing this thing to try to stir up the
So that was why when they were interviewed, they had no idea what they were doing.
That's
they were
right.
just told to carry signs.
Pretty much.
And maybe got
much,
paid
yeah.
for it, or maybe just had a nice tour around the country.
Yeah.
Paid for
well,
by
that,
the insurance company.
That, but those people got all stirred up and came to support that Tea Party Express
mm-hmm.
thing. That's all. It's been publicized and so on. So that's why people were there. And I thought it was kind of a cool thing. Actually.
So what happens is this Tea Party Express bus comes and organizes people in all these places. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
And gets people to turn out.
Yeah.
And
hear these speeches by people that are
on
dead,
the bus.
Dead liars. I mean, their speeches were terrible. I saw a couple of them that were just like, you know, we're gonna kill you. There's gonna be, you know, I mean, it's just the worst crap you've ever heard. And come out of those speeches. I saw the video.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy cow. So, I mean, the problem that we have, folks, is that the scary, scary part is
the problem of truth.
Well, not only truth, but, you know, what these people actually are believing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the scariest part about it, I think, the scariest part about it all is that these people, I mean, if you look at that video, these people are earnest. They're honest about what they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have no clue what the hell they're doing, other than they feel they're being, I don't know what they feel they're being, but they're manipulated to the point of not even knowing what they're doing, and it's a sad thing. It's an extremely sad thing, and I think it's something that's going to have to be addressed. I mean, the sadness of these people, and again, I have to say, it's like the blue-collar Republican. And I have an entire chapter in my new book on that, on blue-collar Republicans. What are we going to do? We still got half an hour, so I've got a bunch of articles and stuff that we could we can read.
Let's read about Al Gore set to become the first carbon billionaire. Wednesday, 04. That's
okay.
A very
and
good
then I just want to, and then after that, I'd like to read the FDA hit research that damned aspartame.
Okay, yeah, I heard that before. Yeah, we read an article very similar to that a while
well,
ago.
Listen
but on
aspartame hearings in 1976 between Senator Ted Kennedy, and there's a short video there. So.
Okay.
But that's okay. You can, you know.
Okay, let's do Al Gore set to become the first carbon billionaire.
Yeah.
Remember our Nobel Prize winning hypocrite? The New York Times has lifted the lid on how Al Gore stands to benefit to the tune of billions of dollars if the carbon tax proposals he is pushing come to fruition in the United States, while documenting how he has already lined his pockets on the back of exaggerated fear-mongering about global warming. As to be expected, the article is largely a whitewash and takes an apologist stance in defense of Gore.
Okay. You want to read any more of that?
Yeah, let's just see what the rest says.
See how sickening he can be. Alex Jones. Okay. However, New York Times' John M. Bruder does reveal how one of the companies Gore invested in, Silver Spring Network, recently received a contract with $560 million from an energy department to install smart meters in people's homes that record and critics fear could eventually regulate energy usage.
Like you'll only get so much and you don't get anymore.
That's right. And Kleiner Perkins and its partners, including Mr. Gore, could recoup their investment many times over in coming years, states the report, highlighting the fact that Gore is well-positioned to profit from the green transformation if and when it comes. Oh, I hope he goes bankrupt, this boy. I really do. And critics, mostly on the political right and among global warming skeptics, say Mr. Gore is poised to become the world's first carbon billionaire, profiting from government policies he supported that would direct billions of dollars to the business ventures he has invested in, writes Broder. And since he left office, Gore's personal net worth has skyrocketed from the back of his advocacy for global warming issues and financial dividends he has reaped. Gore's assets totaled less than $2 million in 2001, although he refuses to give a figure of his current net worth. A recent single investment of $35 million in Capricorn Investment Group, a private equity fund, illustrates just how fast Gore has enriched himself from his climate change bandwagon. He just invested $35 million in a Capricorn investment. And the Times reports notes how Gore has a stake in the world's preeminent carbon tax trading market. As we report back in March, before he became president, Barack Obama also helped fund the profiteers of carbon taxation program that he is now seeking to implement as law.
So he has a piece of the pie, too.
Oh, yeah. The Chicago Climate Exchange has directed ties to both Al Gore and Maurice Strong, two figures intimately involved with a longstanding movement to use the theory of man-made global warming as a mechanism for profit and social engineering. Gore's investment company, General Investment Management, which sells carbon offset opportunities, is the largest shareholder of CCX. And Maurice Strong was regularly credited. Who was recently credited as founding father of the modern environmental movement, serves on the board of directors of CCX. Strong was a leading initiate of the Earth Summit in the early 90s, where the theory of global warming caused by CO2 generated by human activity was most notably advanced. So, both Strong and Gore come from the Club of Rome clique.
How interesting.
Who, in their 1991 report, The First Global Revolution, openly admitted how they were planning to exploit the contrived hopes of global warming in order to further their agenda. In searching for a new enemy to unite, we came up with an idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changing attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself, they wrote. In Gore's defense against claims that he is peddling fear-mongering about global warming to get filthy rich, and one dutifully supported by the New York Times whitewash report, is that he is simply putting his money where his mouth is. However, Gore's insistence that he is walking the walk, not just talking the talk, doesn't seem to extend to his own private life in the context of energy conservation and CO2 emissions. While lecturing the world about reducing CO2 emissions and saving energy, Gore's own mansion uses 20 times the energy of the average American home. Right? In February 2007, the Tennessee Center for Policy Research revealed that the gas and electric bills for the former vice president's 20-room home and pool house devoured nearly 221,000 kilowatt hours in 2006, more than 20 times the national average of 10,656 kilowatt hours. These figures were not disputed by Gore. If there were any other reason than $30,000 a year in utility bills, I wouldn't care. If this were any other reason than $30,000 a year in utility bills, I wouldn't care, said the center's 27-year-old president, Drew Johnson. But he tells other people how to live, and he's not following his own rules. The clip below, taken from Alex Jones' new documentary, Follow the Republic, exposes how Al Gore reserves as the front man for the global carbon tax cap and trade scheme, which is designed to bankrupt the United States and drastically lower the living standards of the American people, while introducing nightmare levels of regulation and bureaucracy into their everyday lives. Okay, I'm going to play this just so. About 10 minutes.
Globalists who know that Obama is going to promote their plan want to make him such a superhero that nobody will question what he's doing. They'll be so preoccupied with who he is or where he is or what he's saying or what he's wearing or something like that. The idea of making him into a celebrity is very valuable because that way people are less inclined to ask, what is he doing? So that's very useful to these people.
Similar plans of social control have been continuously carried out by operatives of the Ford Foundation, who Obama has worked for over the last 30 years. Many of the strategies used to control populations were originally developed by Edward Bernays, who coined the phrase public relations. Bernays said that if you manufacture an authoritative figure who repeats the same messages over and over, that this will appeal the masses' subconscious desires.
Yes, we can.
America. The unwashed masses will helplessly follow the leader and go along with any message they spout.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We shall overcome. Yes, we can. We will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Thank you.
Today, these exact techniques are being used with devastating effect against the general population. Obama is the latest version of 21st century mass mind control. The psych warfare engineers are counting on Obama to finish the plan they began decades ago. Beyond their plans to devastate the economy for global consolidation, a new international framework of draconian law is being constructed to establish a system of neo-feudalistic serfdom.
Remember, it was Bill Clinton who gave us NAFTA. And it was Al Gore, the hero of the environmental movement, who was the hatchet man for the Clinton administration to cram NAFTA down the throats of a reluctant Congress.
Now, this is a good deal for our country, Larry, and let me explain why.
Al Gore, who carried the ball for NAFTA and GATT, is now one of the top standard bearers for the elite's agenda.
This, I didn't interrupt you.
Okay, now, guys.
Maybe you just...
Is this...
NAFTA. Why? Huge numbers of manufacturing jobs left Canada, came into the United States because of a 15% wage differential. We pay our workers less than Canada. Now, when you've got a 7-to-1 wage differential between the United States and Mexico, you will hear the giant sucking sound.
No,
there's a political lesson. There's a business lesson.
He serves as the front man for the carbon tax cap and trade scheme, which will not only increase taxes on every American, but will also transfer our national sovereignty and rights to a tyrannical world government, all in the name of saving the earth.
Is the legislation that we are discussing here today, is that something that you are going to personally benefit from?
If you believe that the reason I have been working on this issue for 30 years is because of greed, you don't know me. I've been willing to put my money where my mouth is. Do you think there's something wrong with being active in business in this country?
I am simply asking for clarification.
I'm proud of
the relationship.
I'm proud of it.
My name is Dr. Tim Ball. I'm a climatologist. I have a PhD in climatology from the Queen Mary College, University of London, England. And I've been studying climate both with my 9 years in the Canadian Air Force, where it was essential to flying, and then after that at the university. So it's essentially been the whole theme of my career. Initially called climate skeptics, I said, but all scientists are skeptics. If you're not a skeptic, you're not a scientist. And then when that didn't work, Then they came out with the charge that we were climate change deniers. And I remember when I was first called a denier, and it was in the Times of London in England. And of course, the word denier was clearly deliberately chosen because of the Holocaust connotations of that term. So it was not only a charge that you were ignoring the truth, but you were doing it in a very evil way. And, of course, I laugh about that now because my whole career has been anything but a climate change denier. I've spent my career trying to educate people to how much climate changes naturally. So I'm anything but a denier, but of course that is part of the politics.
Under the Nazis, there was something called race science. They had a lunatic theory of eugenics, the Aryan heritage, and all the rest of this. Absolute crackpot pseudoscience. There was no empirical measure or empirical test for the validity of those theories. They simply asserted them, and if you were a professor who stood up to them, then the Gestapo would come and take you away. We are perilously close to such a situation right now. Any academic, any other figure standing up to say the global warming theory of Al Gore is a piece of crackpot nonsense is in danger. You'd be fired from a government job, and in many universities, your job would be in danger.
And, of course, it's also part of what's called ad hominem, that if you can't defeat the person's argument rationally, you start attacking the person. And we see that with these terms, and we see it with Al Gore calling them flat earthers.
Congressman, you began by denying that there is a consensus on the science. There is a consensus on the science.
Well, you must have been listening to our testimony that we've had for the last few days with dozens of experts that have come in who have given completely different views.
Well, there.
So I would encourage you to go back and look at the testimony
there,
this committee's heard.
There are people who still believe that the moon landing was staged on a movie lot in Arizona.
And neither of us are one of those. And I know you like giving those cute anecdotes. This is not a cutesy issue. We're talking about
that
can export millions of jobs out of our economy, out of our country.
Richard Lindzen, the MIT professor of atmospheric physics, said it many years ago when he said the consensus was reached before the research had even begun. And then scientists like myself that stood up and said, hold on a minute, I got problems with this. Oh, paid by the oil companies. Don't trust that guy.
What the international scientific community is saying is correct. There is no legitimate basis for denying it.
Now, you hear the consensus argument, well, the majority of scientists. What they're always talking about is, and originally the IPCC was about 3,600 scientists, is now down to 2,500. That's the people they're talking about. But when you look at it, most of them are bureaucrats. They're not scientists at all. And very, very few of them are actual climate experts.
Now, the consequences of that, and whether that's because of man-made CO2, I think are debatable.
If CO2 is not causing the climate change, what is? What are the major driving factors? And so they're essentially the ones that are left out by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. It's unbelievable to me that they can come out and ignore the sun. Everybody knows the sun goes in, it gets cool. You notice that, right? You have an eclipse, the temperature drops, and the birds start to get excited and so on. And when you look at the seasonal changes with the sun, how you can suggest that the sun is not a factor is really quite remarkable.
Giving us false scientific information is not going to clean up our environment. Speaking with a lot of promises and innuendo is not going to help clean up our environment.
The globalists have co-opted the environmental movement. There are a lot of real environmental problems we face, like genetic engineering, where they're splicing plants, animals, insects, you name it. Toxic waste dumping in the ocean. No one wants to breathe bad air or drink toxic water. But the global carbon tax has nothing to do with that. It's a tax literally on breathing. Go out on the street or talk to your friends, your neighbors. Ask them, hey, should we ban dihydrogen monoxide? It's bad for the environment. The average person will sign your petition calling for the banning of water. That's right. Dihydrogen monoxide is water. It's the same thing with table salt, sodium chloride. And that's exactly what the establishment is doing with carbon dioxide. Ooh, dioxide. It has this scary-sounding name. But the truth is, it's one of the four elements of life on this planet. Oxygen, carbon dioxide, water, and sunlight. And if the establishment can tax and list as a toxic waste one of those basic four building blocks of life, carbon dioxide, they can regulate and control every facet of our lives and shut down any businesses that aren't part of their New World Order.
The idea that carbon is a pollutant is essentially a way of saying that humanity is a disease or a cancer that ought to be wiped out. Genocide. People have argued in this environmental coterie around Obama, around Holdren, the theoretician of de-development, who is now the science advisor of the White House, really the anti-science advisor. They've argued that babies are carbon monsters, carbon machines, and that every time you breathe out carbon dioxide, you're part of the pollution of the planet. This is an absolutely anti-human doctrine.
They use the environmental movement to promote their real agenda, which is globalization and federalization and power.
Wow. And,
Boy, that was quite a scary
bit of
news, wasn't it?
Yeah, and probably true, I would say.
It's really funny. Leo just mentioned that I had sort of joked for years that the only thing they haven't taxed is the air, and they'll figure out a way to do it.
And there they did. It's like, wow, I tapped her on the knee there, and I said, you got to watch this. I said, we both woke up on that one, and went, wow. You know, Lila's been prophesying that for quite a few years now, 5 years, maybe more.
Oh,
yeah,
more.
Probably more.
Well, because, you know, they've just taxed everything, and
well, I think when we found out about,
as you said, sunlight, that'll be enough, you know.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, 9 years ago or so, when we first met Keith Armanstone, and he just talked to us, Keith, an investigative journalist, does national, international research and investigations, and he told us that most of this stuff is all fraud. All the global climate thing is a fraud, the land conservation, the gorilla funds, this kind of thing, are all fraud.
It's all designed to steal from somebody else what they want.
They steal, well, so what they're doing is these pristine areas, they're preserving as they're causing these Kenya and other places to create these national parks, all right? And drive the people off the people who have lived there, all their tribes that have lived there forever, and kicks them off their land, and
turns it into a preserve in quotes,
and a preserve, and also lease out or assign oil rights or mining rights or whatever to these huge corporations. So it's all done in the disguise of save the gorilla, but actually the gorilla is not in really any harm. It's just all, it's like save the polar bear.
Yeah.
It turns out the polar bear isn't running extinct. In fact, they've increased in population.
They're doing quite nicely.
And it's like, and the polar ice caps, they're actually expanding. They're thickening. They're not falling out. We're entering a cold spell.
Period of cold.
A cold age. Not a global warming phase. So, I think Al Gore sold his soul after the 2000 election.
No, he sold
already.
Before,
but I think when he lost, he lost that and. I'm grateful. You know, I never thought that I would admit this to this day, but God had His hand on that election, because Gore and Lieberman were the two biggest, turned out to be the two biggest monsters that this world has seen. All right, Gore being this fraud. And Lieberman just being the ultimate
fraud,
you know, the ultimate fraud. And I mean, at least George Bush.
Every time Lieberman ran for office in Connecticut, he would drag out his video of marching with Martin Luther King, which he did probably when he was 18 or 19.
He based his whole career on that, you know?
On that one piece of video.
Yeah.
There's nothing that he has in common now with that person that marched with Martin Luther King except opportunity. He was an opportunist who was smart enough to record what he did.
That's right.
And take it with him and use it for the rest of his life. Kerry the same way.
He earned a few medals and threw them over the White House fence or something. He kept the medals through the ribbons.
Yeah, something.
He threw the ribbons, kept the medals, and according to the Swift voters, there he actually one of those might have been a self-inflicted wound. To get him out of the service.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So it's kind of like, boy.
You know, just frauds, these people.
Yeah, yeah. And, it's pretty sick. And then he leaves and he, says that everybody is, anybody who stays is a, what do you say? In his famous speech, he declared everybody was virtually every soldier who served in Vietnam was a murderer.
Yeah.
So it's like it was pretty bizarre. And Kerry became I don't know how it did it. Massachusetts just.
Well, it's probably rigged elections. What makes you think they weren't rigged?
Yeah, but I mean, people like Kerry up there. A lot of people like Kerry. But Massachusetts is a strange town.
I live there.
I know it's a strange state. A strange state, indeed. But anyway, they have the worst drivers in Massachusetts.
No,
the highest insurance rates are in Massachusetts. They have the worst drivers in the country.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's been known for years. I don't know if it's improved at all over the last 20 years, but it used to be horrible. So and of course Massachusetts. What did you get? Dukakis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, Tank Man, Dukakis. I mean, I don't think anybody's had. I mean, I can't think. And Kennedy. I mean, come on. And that's as tired as it gets old. And I can't think of anything else. Massachusetts is. Given us, except a couple of very strange presidential candidates.
Yeah.
Dukakis, and Kerry, and JFK. It's interesting how many have come from there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And John Adams and...
John Quincy Adams.
Real fascinating. But anyway, that's what we got from here. And let's see, we got about 7 minutes left. Let's see if we can find something else interesting here. You want to read about Obama's Youth Corps?
No, there was something that I wanted to read. Go back to... There was something right above the article that we just read on Al Gore. I'd like to go back to the article on Al Gore that we just read. Go back to the article above it. I think it'd be interesting. Keep going. Right there. One Flew Over the Ukraine's Nest.
Oh, I'd like to. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I want to read the one on aspartame.
Okay.
Let's read that first. When the CD Searle Company sought GD Searle Company sought FDA approval for NutraSweet, they submitted doctored fraudulent studies so corrupt that the Department of Justice appointed two prosecutors to investigate Searle. Searle's lawyers hired the prosecutors, and the case died with the statute of limitations. Listen in on an aspartame hearing in 1976 between Senator Ted Kennedy and FDA Commissioner Alexander Schmidt at the Senate Subcommittee on Labor and Politics.
I'm going to play that now.
Yeah.
FDA,
I guess they don't have it.
I just got the transcript.
Okay.
It's
a transcript, so that's not as interesting as I thought it was going to be. But anyway, can you imagine this company hired the prosecutors, and that was the end of it? And
I'm going to request that you go to that. It's actually on rents.com. check it out. FDA hid research that damned aspartame by Dr. Betty Martini. And check it out. It's a full transcript of the hearing. And, you know, it really gets it's lengthy. But
I'd technical.
But I'd highly suggest if you're interested and you're still chewing gum or drinking anything that or eating anything that has NutraSweet or aspartame or any of the names of those of artificial sweeteners, check that article out. And let's see, NASA submits Goldstone Report, International Criminal, NAMAW.
Huh.
Yeah. Whereas such actions on the part of the Secretary of State and or the U.S. Ambassador would be unfortunate, our concern is that even if some chance the Goldstone Report does reach the U.N. Security Council, the U.S. will use its veto to prevent the Security Council from referring the report to the International Criminal Court, thereby preventing the initiation of an investigation into the allegations made in the report, as required by Article 53 of the Rome Statute. Muslim American Women. National Association
of Muslim American Women.
And this was presented to the International Criminal Court, Office of the Prosecutor. And it says, on September 15, 2009, the United Nations Human Rights Commission endorsed a report issued by a team of credible and respected UN investigators. The report is entitled Human Rights in Palestine and Other Occupied Territories and Reports of the United Nations Fact-Finding Mission on the Gaza Conflict. The report is more popularly known
as the Goldstone. We've reported on this. The UNHRC endorsement of the report and its allegations that Israel committed war crimes and possibly crimes against humanity in its December 27th assault on Gaza, Palestine, was a major step in a decades-long struggle to end impunity and to hold Israel accountable for alleged illegal actions being carried out on the occupied territories, including its continued occupation of the territories in spite of UN resolutions calling for Israel to end its illegal occupation and to withdraw to its mandated 1976 borders.
Say 1967.
1967 borders. Unfortunately, in response to the UNHRC endorsement of the Goldstone Report and its findings, the U.S. Congress is preparing to vote on and perhaps pass a non-binding resolution that advises U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and U.N. Ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, to do whatever is necessary to prevent the Goldstone Report from reaching the U.N. Security Council or the International Criminal Court.
Whereas such actions on the part of the Secretary of State and or the U.S. Ambassador would be unfortunate, our concern is that even if by some chance the Goldstone Report does reach the U.N. Security Council, the U.S. will use its veto to prevent the Security Council from referring the report to the International Court.
Criminal Court.
And thereby preventing the initiation of an investigation into the allegations made in the report, as required by Article 53 of the Rome Statute.
Acting in anticipation of such circumstances, the National Association of Muslim Women, NAMA, a UN-accredited NGO and member of the Committee on the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinians, takes this opportunity to present to the court as communication under the rules of referrals and communication with the court, the report of the United Nations fact-finding mission on the Gaza conflict incorporated herein by reference. Our communications with the court in this respect is intended to endorse the report and its allegations of war crimes and possibly crimes against humanity carried out in the December 27, 2009 Israeli military assault on Gaza in Palestine, and to ask that the court analyze the information and allegations set forth within the report to determine if such allegations and findings provide the necessary requirements under the Rome Statute Article 53 for the court to initiate an investigation into the charges. So, And we've reported on this before because they've used white phosphorus, depleted uranium, and it's caused birth defects.
Absolutely.
And it's really maimed, they really maimed, injured, and killed many people, mostly civilians.
Yeah, Israel has caused an increase in birth defects in infants born in Gaza after the December 2008 war. Other information presented to the court through this communication includes information concerning the continued illegal economic embargo being imposed upon Gaza Strip in apparent violation of Article 6 and 7 of the statute that prohibits acts of genocide and crimes against humanity. The statute describes genocide as acts committed to destroy in part or whole a national, ethical, racial, or religious group. The statute includes such acts as killing members of the group, causing serious bodily harm and mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, or imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, and forcibly transferring children of the group to another group.
And let's see what else they say. Under the above-mentioned definition, the Rome Statute also criminalizes apartheid and other inhumane acts of similar character, intentionally causing great suffering or serious injury to the body or physical health. In consideration of the information provided within this communication, including information provided within the report of the United Nations, in other words, they're lodging a protest.
That's what they're doing, and it's a legal protest, that they're
based violating on the very articles of the U.S.
And but they're afraid that the U.S. will try to
block it,
even get it to the U.N., which is very possible. That's why they're making it public in this way.
So can go to the article.
Right. The United States First and Only Muslim Women's Pro-Life and Pro-Family Political Action Committee. All right. Well, that's good, but I think it's important that you know that somebody's out there is trying.
And we've come right to the end of our show.
Yeah.
It's after 9, and we want to thank you for tuning in, and I hope you found us to be informative.
Yeah, I do too. And,
So, do you want to say goodnight, Leo?
Yeah.
So, good night, and thanks for being with us, and tune in next week.
Right. There's another one here that's kind of interesting. I don't know if maybe I can go out with it. How to get the public to take the H1N1 vaccine. Leaked from Council on Foreign Relations file. This is a video on YouTube. It's called A Resident Asks, Will You Be Getting the Swine Vaccine? Who? Let's see what they...
Thank you for downloading this Council on Foreign Relations podcast. CFR is an independent national membership organization and nonpartisan research center.
Yeah.
Good morning. My name is Lori Garrett, and you are here in the Council on Foreign Relations in New York. I am the Senior Fellow for Global Health here at the Council on Foreign Relations. With us today is a stellar group of scientists, analysts, journalists, and as usual at the Council on Foreign Relations, a highly diverse and intelligent audience.
At the heart of the discussion was how to get the American public to take the unpopular...
I'm Law from Cornell Medical School. So I think we're all aware that the anti-vaccine movement is having a field day on the internet and on media outlets like Fox News and so on, and causing reductions in vaccine uptake. And it appears to be pretty unholy alliance of the ultra-right and the ultra-left working together in a sort of Hitler-Stalin pact. I'm not sure that we're countering these people very well. And you have to take these people on in a different style than scientists are used to. We have to develop better sound bites. We have to develop better discussion. You can't really debate these people, but you have to develop better counter methods. And for example, you hear that we shouldn't take flu vaccines because the mercury will kill us. Well, Paul Offit in the New York Times last week pointed out that there is less mercury in a flu shot than there is in a tuna fish sandwich. And that's a powerful soundbite to use against against the crazy people.
Are you getting the swine flu vaccine?
No, I got the Superman gene. I never get sick.
The only time I took a flu vaccination, it made me sick. And I don't want to get like that no more, so I take my chances.
No one is really stating the risk behind it. So I'm not gonna be a guinea pig for anyone, so I'm not getting it.
You don't know how the vaccination has been done?
So is the vaccination scarier than the flu?
Yes. I feel like we got a little crazy with it.
Why did we get crazy with this?
I think the media hypes up stuff, you know, and just everything takes on these epic proportions, so.
Deal with the crazy people, deal with the crazy people, deal with the crazy people, deal with the crazy people.
As to who's to blame for all the hype, everyone seems to agree that the mainstream media is fault.
The president now declaring the H1N1 outbreak a national emergency. The White House says the president signed his proclamation last night. It will allow medical officials to bypass certain federal requirements. Some officials describe this move as being similar to a declaration ahead of a hurricane.
That wasn't the story we were getting from the president.
As I said when we saw the first cases of this virus back in the spring, I don't want anybody to be alarmed, but I do want everybody to be prepared.
Now back to the Council on Foreign Relations symposium.
Despite being a not terribly dangerous virus in and of itself on a scale of influenza dangers.
Having said that, it lacks certain signatures, certain molecular signs which are associated with the 1918 pandemic strain, the 1957, and the 1968. And that is one of the genes, it's a short one, it has a technical name, PB1F2, and that is missing in the 2009 virus.
Experts admit H1N1.
We're also making steady progress on developing a safe and effective H1N1 flu vaccine, and we expect a flu shot program will begin soon. This program will be completely voluntary. Completely voluntary, completely voluntary, completely voluntary, completely voluntary.
Good morning, Rory Lantzman. I'm a member of the New York State Assembly. We had a hearing, a 12-hour hearing on H1N1 earlier this week. Much of it focused on the mandatory vaccination that the New York State Department of Health has ordered of almost all healthcare workers in New York State. And I was wondering if you could offer an opinion on whether you think such a policy is effective. And sound?
I have a very strong opinion. And that is, I think that's appropriate.
Completely voluntary. Completely voluntary. Completely voluntary. Completely voluntary.
The news media is hyping the swine flu as though it's the next death mission, and everybody's getting frightened. And
do you agree with that?
No, I don't. From what I've seen, certainly some vulnerable people have died, but not masses of people like the Black Plague or anything.
The truth is that many Americans are not buying into the swine flu scam and are refusing the vaccine. However, there are those who are buying into the scam and do intend to vaccinate themselves and their families. But there are those who are on the fence about the vaccine and what to do. The experts recommend to get them to take the flu shot. What do the experts
think? I think what would work better would be to say that there was a shortage and people tend to line up more for something less than demand. You saw that there was one season where really people lined up all night
right.
to get a flu shot. And then, I mean,
ABC News put the H1N vaccine artificial scarcity tactic.
And the supplies of the vaccine running low. Doctors around the country are now finding themselves overrun with nervous parents. Here's ABC's Rachel Martin.
For weeks, doctors' offices around the country have been fielding a flurry of phone calls.
We do not have any H1N1 available at our office at this time.
Telling patients the same thing.
We are out of the flu shot vaccine right now.
8 a.m. the next day, Swanson is in the office calling patients to tell them the vaccine is in, but supplies won't last.
And we need to protect Michael. He's going to be one of those kids who could end up in the hospital, and I don't think we want that.
By 10 a.m., the waiting room is full.
With the vaccine now in short supply, parents are lining up in doctor's offices like this one, hoping to get their questions answered and their kids vaccinated.
I think what would work better would be to say that there was a shortage and people tend to line up more for something less than demand. You saw that there was one one season where really people lined up all night
right.
to get a flu shot. And then, I mean,
for whatever reason, I think it's pretty much safe to say that the media and the government are yanking your chain.
Do you think that the people who are making it are putting it out in controlled amounts so that it is producing this demand?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The drug companies that are making money at this, who's making money at the end of the day?
Considering members of the Council on Foreign Relations Symposium, participating members of the symposium included Peter Pellis, professor and chair of microbiology, as to... Participating members of the Council on Foreign Relations Symposium included Peter Pellis, professor and chair of microbiology and professor of medicine, infectious diseases, Mount Sinai School of Medicine. Other participating members, Lone Simonson, research director and research professor and research director, Department of Global Health, George Washington University. These are all people that were on the CFR that were laughing at us and trying to figure out how to create this scare, this panic. Others, let's see, John Cohen, correspondent, Science Magazine, presider, video by Massanova, Under the Radar Media. So, I recommend it. I recommend this if you can get it.
Heard that,
louder, big mouth, shout, talk about it. Yeah, it was good. So I want to thank everybody and for joining us. And please join us tomorrow night when we go into the spiritual realm and have a great show for you. So thank you and good night.